Hi, everyone. I'm Debbie Stackler, Editor-in-Chief of Provider Magazine, the flagship publication of the American Healthcare Association and the National Center for Assisted Living. I'd like to welcome you to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care, a monthly podcast produced by ACA and NCAL. Each month, we'll talk with long-term care and assisted living professionals about the opportunities and challenges impacting the long-term and post-acute care profession. My guest today is Mary Ruth Butler. Mary Ruth is the Director of Quality and Integrity at Cascadia Healthcare. As the previous executive director at Mountain Valley of Cascadia, her team became the first ever skilled nursing facility to achieve the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award in 2016. This is the highest level of national recognition for performance excellence. She has also received ACA's Mary Kay Ousley Champion of Quality Award in 2017 and the Baldrige Foundation Award for Leadership Excellence in 2019. Welcome to the podcast, Mary Ruth.
Thank you, Debbie, for having me.
Well, let's start at the beginning. Tell us how you began your career in long-term care. What was your career journey like?
Well, my career in long-term care began back in the early 90s. In 1996, I became the business office manager for Mountain Valley, and at that time, they were becoming Kindred Healthcare. I was fortunate enough to have a great mentor that supported my drive for professional growth and leadership development. Under her mentorship, I did become the succession plan, and a few years later became the executive director of Mountain Valley, which we know now as Mountain Valley of Cascadia. My team and I began to work with the ACA Quality Award criteria back in 2005. In 2008, I was introduced to the Baldrige Excellence Framework. At that time, it was very overwhelming. But the more we learned to use the criteria, the more we began to experience positive change, meeting our goals, and we began to experience, you know, those quality improvements that we all desired. The change, though, was slow. But when we were able to look back after a few years of working with the criteria, we became very excited about our quality journey and wanted to share it often with others in the industry. As a leader, I've been lucky enough to work with some amazing leaders and have been able to share lessons learned by a leader as we started and continued our quality journey. So I'm honored to celebrate their successes, whether or grander, like being a Gold Quality Award recipient.
Well, tell us a little bit about Cascadia Healthcare. How many centers are there? What types of care are offered?
Cascadia was founded back in 2015 and is wholly controlled by four principals, the four partners. Cascadia consists of 46 centers and 9 assisted living centers in 6 states. Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, New Mexico, and Arizona. Cascadia employs nearly 3,000 employees, and their growth has been quite rapid. We do have a very flat hierarchy. All decisions are made at the facility level with support from peers that are part of a team consisting of 3 or 4 centers that support each other. Since we don't have a corporate hierarchy, each center is operated like its own individual business. Cascadia supports that people most capable of making the right clinical, cultural, and financial decisions are the individuals who are at the center every day and who understand the needs of the center, of the residents they serve, and then, of course, of the community that they serve.
I like that, a personalized approach. Well, 2 Cascadia centers received Gold ACA Quality Awards this year, Aspen Park of Cascadia and Lewiston Transitional Care of Cascadia. In addition, Mountain Valley of Cascadia received gold last year, so congratulations. What do you think contributed to this high level of success?
Well, first of all, we're very excited for those centers. I think what contributed to their success was the difference of leaders on a quality journey, not on a quality award journey. And let me just add a little color to this. These leaders that lean in when others share their successes. And not just lean in, but lean in to listen in order to learn how they can improve their quality by introducing new processes or refining existing processes. The Baldrige framework is about developing processes, then evaluating and improving those processes. So as we work toward building leaders that are process-based leaders, working with the criteria just supports that strategy, which we know, based on evidence, data, improves our organizations in all key areas. We do have a culture of pay it forward through best practice sharing. We have a culture that once you achieve any level of the quality award, that the right thing to do is to share with whomever needs your support. The pay it forward culture. This has been the best part of the experience for me, watching mature leaders support, mentor, coach newer leaders, helping them become successful, improving their own quality and their own center. So we're excited about what the next award cycle brings for Cascadia in terms of the mentoring and the pay it forward culture.
What a great strategy. Let's expand on that a little bit more. Are there particular strategies or technologies that have proven instrumental in elevating the quality of care and services in Cascadia healthcare centers?
There are. In terms of technology, we do use the tool Abacus for our quality improvements, such as our data, resources for QAPI and our performance improvement projects. Additionally, using all of the critical element pathways has been a great strategy for us in terms of evaluating our own processes to identify gaps in care and have the ability to evaluate and improve prior to a negative outcome that may include something as serious as a survey citation. An area that's been fun for me as I move into my new role, however, is our organization is working towards using Baldrige Framework as our primary strategy. So I'm very excited about this. We began to roll out our primary education, overlaying the Baldrige organizational profile, the 6 process categories and results with the elements of CMS's QAPI program, which we know that all skilled nursing facilities are required to have. What we've identified is that each program mirrors each other very nicely, almost like QAPI came from Baldrige. Why do we view this strategy as important to our success? It's really easy. As I mentioned earlier, when I became introduced to the criteria, it was overwhelming. But what we can teach our leaders today is that they're already doing Baldrige. And now we need to move into the formal quality journey by helping them explore the advantages of working with the AHCA quality award process, hoping that this strategy will support our goal of a process-based leadership model within Cascadia Healthcare.
Well, you mentioned earlier that it's not a focus on quality awards, but quality improvement processes. How do you prioritize continuous improvement within the centers to maintain this high level of excellence over time?
That can be challenging. We do use some of the same elements in CMS's QAPI plan, the identification of high volume, high risk, high prone, high cost areas that require improvement. Any areas identified are aligned during our strategic planning process with an action plan, associated performance measures, timeline following our performance improvement process that we have in each center. In addition to using the elements of the QAPI, we consider our branding. We know that our customers' belief structures are composed of 2 types of beliefs. Categorical beliefs, the positive things that they believe about us that come from our workforce out in our community, or maybe current or past customers, and then evidence-based belief based on the facts. The things that are known based on evidence, the data, the 5-star rating, the turnover, the quality measures, customer service outcomes. Therefore, we can also prioritize any issues that might have a negative impact in either one of those areas as well.
Well, let's dive into some of that culture that really feeds into this quality improvement process mindset. Can you share some insights into the overall organizational culture that supports high performance in the centers? And then what's the role of teamwork and collaboration?
As I spoke about earlier, Cascadia has a very flat hierarchy, giving each leader the autonomy to make their own business decisions. And while this level of empowerment sounds really exciting, it does come with a tremendous amount of responsibility. And at the end of the day, the ownership of success or failure is at the facility level. This model supports reaching out left and right to your peers, since reaching up is very limited. The culture fosters transparency among our centers and really does support relationship building that leads to support and encouragement to be a high performer. An example of collaboration for the purpose of supporting superior performance is whenever Cascadia has survey enter one of their buildings, they communicate this to all 46 centers. It goes out in an email. They become the priority for the week. If they need a policy, if they need some help with a timeline related to maybe an incident report, if they need some extra resource help, everyone that can support that center reaches out to help them. Every day that center will communicate the events of the day, any potential issues, any opportunities for improvement, you know, technical assistance that the surveyors have given them. And while this may seem insignificant, on some days there have been several examples that have been shared by a building in survey that have prevented another building from having the same repeat negative outcome. In my years, this level of teamwork, collaboration, transparency is relatively new. I have not experienced it before. So it's quite a catalyst for improving performance throughout the organization.
That's really interesting that the decision-making and the accountability is at the facility level, and yet there's such a strong sense of teamwork and collaboration across all the facilities. It really sounds like the best of both worlds. Well, how do you ensure that staff are aligned with this vision of providing exceptional care? How do you foster professional growth and development?
Well, from our administrators, or we refer to them as CEOs, perspective, this starts during onboarding. Some of our centers on their formal quality journey, and by this saying, I mean, we all want quality in our organization, but for those centers that have moved into the next level of their journey, working with the AHCA Quality Award Program really does change it to a more formal level of a quality journey. Those centers will share their organizational profile during the onboarding process, which could be their bronze application, we know as the organizational profile, the first 5 pages of their silver or gold application with the new employees during the onboarding process. We know that two of the most important days for our employees' career are their first day and their last day. We are hopeful by sharing the organizational profile that we can create excitement for the new employee that will support high level of engagement, which we know is a key element of a high performing team. Fostering professional growth and development also starts with onboarding. That includes two-way communication where we can identify the employee's expectation of us as leaders. It's a tough job market out there, so we definitely want to know what our employees want from us in our organization, our centers, and as leaders. So through this process, we can easily initiate our learning and development system and individualize for each new employee, as well as continue to align those same desires with all existing employees.
Well, I like that you mentioned expectations, and staff is not the only group that has these expectations. In what ways do you engage with residents and their families to understand their needs and expectations? And then how do you take that information and integrate it into the care delivery model?
I'll respond from two different perspectives for this question. Our process at the facility level would be the traditional listening methods. We have staff interviews, senior leader rounding, grievance process, resident counsel, as well as other listening methods. But one primary tool is abacus. We perform resident and family interviews during multiple cycles each year. The staff is reviewed daily, which may lead to refining a process or introducing a new care delivery model through innovation or intelligent risk-taking. The staff is used monthly during our QAPI meeting and possibly for the development of performance improvement projects, and then annually during our strategic planning process if we need to develop something that goes into the next year. At a different level, from the Director of Quality and Integrity, I have access to all 46 centers. So learning what and how processes are refined and implemented becomes a great opportunity for me to be the catalyst in sharing of best practices from center to center, state to state, which could be a best practice that might change the care delivery model that have been implemented successfully in other centers that can be refined and implemented in a new center. We know that what happens in Moscow, Idaho may not be what happens in Phoenix, Arizona, but there are similar traits, and looking at those best practices and refining them helps us to be better and improve our quality.
Well, I love that you talk about best practices and sharing them across centers. What other ways do you use to stay updated with the latest trends, research, and advancements in healthcare to adapt and implement those best practices within your centers?
Truly, I think the best way to stay updated is by staying involved in our state and national associations, attending the webinars that we get the invites for, reading Provider Magazine, reading McKnight articles, attending conferences to learn and network, giving us the opportunity to hear and share best practices. But if this information is not deployed back to the leaders of centers, then no value will come from it. Again, this is where that culture of sharing the good and the bad information really supports the advancements in our centers.
I like that. A wide variety of sources to make sure you're keeping your fingers on the pulse. Well, this has all been very positive and very encouraging, but we know that with changes in processes and visions and things of that sort, there can be challenges. So how do you manage challenges that may arise in maintaining high standards of quality and ensure that your team is resilient and adaptable in those situations?
I love this question. This question makes me think of a diagram in the Baldrige Excellence Framework titled From Fighting Fires to Innovation. And it all comes back to learning, doesn't it? And in most cases, several cycles of learning and improvement of our processes. The only way we'll be prepared for the challenges that will come our way and will help our teams be resilient and able to adapt to most situations is by learning and refining our processes. We have to have repeatable processes in place to be that process-based leadership. Then when things like COVID, turnover, or other challenges arrive, the process will support the center and the people will support the process. This is what a sustainable organization truly looks like to me.
Absolutely. You never know what's coming down the pike. And so being able to rely upon process will really help you be prepared for whatever surprises may come up in the future. Well, what encouragement or advice would you give to someone or a facility starting their quality improvement journey or along the way? What is it that you keep in mind as you keep moving down this quality journey?
Well, the one thing I would tell them to do, don't wait for the perfect time, because if you do, there'll never be a perfect time. And as I mentioned earlier, the two gold recipients this year, the thing that really makes them stand out the same as Mountain Valley is they were on a quality journey, not a quality award journey. So truly, if you're finding all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't start pursuing that quality journey, then I would go back and ask yourself the why. It's probably not because you're in it to look at the data to improve the quality, but maybe focus more on the award, which is great. It's fun to be on the stage, to be recognized as a quality recipient in front of the nation. But also, you know, each one of us come to work every day and want to improve quality in our facilities. To me, the AQUA Quality Award Program that uses the Baldrige framework is the roadmap on how to do it. There are so many gaps in our centers that we're so busy each day being reactive that it just kind of helps us find the way, keeps us on the right track to get those quality outcomes that we want. But it's not even just about that. It's also about being able to sit with your team, identify where your issues are, refine your processes, and then to be able to look at the data and then to go back and see year over year how you truly improve your data in areas that are very difficult. We all can be good, and sometimes we can be a five-star. And getting there sometimes is the easy part, right? Staying there is the hard part. And I feel like when you embark on your formal quality journey, that you'll have more tools in your toolbox to help you get there, and more importantly, to help you stay there.
I love that idea. The perfect time to start is now. And sometimes it's harder to stay there than to get there, but it's worth it in the long run. Well, thank you again for joining us, Mary Ruth. This has been a great time to talk about quality. AQUA NCAL has additional resources about quality. Go to the AQUA NCAL website at ahcancal.org and click on the quality tile. The AQUA NCAL National Quality Award Program is a fantastic way to recognize the hard work of improving quality processes. Visit aquancal.org/quality award for more information. Thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of Perspectives in Long-Term Care. Join us each month as we discuss issues that impact the long-term and post-acute care profession. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Take care.